Let's call this a double barrel episode of Cut the Clutter because we talk about two completely distant and distinct and different things. Our favorite country and our favorite state. And when I say our favorite, we mean our favorite as in our lives as political analysts. So our favorite country, many of you have guessed, I know by now, is Israel. It is the fourth Cut the Clutter that we will be devoting to Israel, at least more than half of it. And our favorite state, again as political analysts, is Bihar. What else? And you saw this unedifying spectacle from Bihar Assembly yesterday, where lots of MLAs were beaten up by the police and some people in plain clothes, we didn't even know who they were. So opposition people were beaten up because they were protesting against a new law that the Nitish Kumar BJP government is passing, giving extraordinary powers of arrest and seizure and raids to what is called as Bihar Armed Police. And in Israel, of course, we know a fourth election in just about 2 years, in fact less than two years, has produced yet another stalemate, or so it looks from all the exit polls result that have come out by now, which means what will happen is that the same prime minister will continue, maybe as a kind of caretaker, Benjamin Netanyahu, and who knows, either another uneasy coalition will be set up, or later this year there will be another election. That will be fifth in just over 2 years. There isn't a democracy that's more fun than Israel if you are a journalist. So before I get started, I know some of you might be thinking by now that I am letting you off from my appeals to subscribe to the print.in. Now let me tell you something, I will not forget it. I will do it at least twice a month because it is your contributions through subscriptions that keep us going. And look at what we are doing right now. Look at what the young reporters of the print are doing right now. We have reporters traveling in all the five states where elections are taking place and multiple reporters in the major states. So West Bengal, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Assam, Pondicherry. And also we have multiple reporters, photographers, teams traveling in other states, in Gujarat, in Punjab and Maharashtra, which have been hit by the big fresh waves of COVID, and covering everything else that happens in the country. The print is very different from many other new media platforms that have come up because we cover news on the ground across the country. That costs money. It cannot be done unless people who use this news, that people like you, pay for it. So I know some of you try and taunt me by saying, why do you keep asking for money? I am not asking you for charity. I am not asking you for donation. I am just saying that pay for news, because unless you pay for news, you will not get the news that is correct. You might get the news that you want to see, but that is not news. That is propaganda. So again, pay, take a paid subscription to the print.in. And again, if you're a student, don't do it, because say around time the exam season ends, we will come up with a very attractive scheme for students only. Nevertheless, let me come back to the point. So Israel first. Now the fourth election has taken place in Israel in 2 years. Israel has a very unique system of electing its national parliament, or what is called in Hebrew, the Knesset. The Knesset has 120 MPs, so majority is 61. But the key thing is those 61 should agree with each other. And you might ask me, what do you mean if there is a majority of 61 and they should agree with each other? I will tell you, that is what makes Israel's politics so fascinating. The last election, for example, third election, because this issue is not yet settled, one group, that is the group led by Benny Gantz, who is a former chief of staff of Israeli Defense Forces, a former general, his party called Blue and White Party. Blue and white are the colors of the Israeli flags. It's a nationalist party, right-wing party. Every party in Israel that's in the contest right now is a right-wing party. The left in Israel got banished a long time back. In fact, the Labour Party, which used to be the leading intellectual, political, philosophical force in Israel, has more or less petered away, very much like the left in India, although they were not like the left in India, not that ideological. But everybody is right. Now, Benny Gantz's group around him, or the opposition to Netanyahu, got 61 seats. 61 is a majority. But they didn't all agree the third time on forming one government to keep Netanyahu out. So Netanyahu got an opportunity. There was a standstill. He went ahead and he made a deal with Benny Gantz that you come and join my government. So two adversaries joined a government. It's like in an election, if the Congress and BJP both failed to get a majority, both got together and said, look, the country needs a government, we'll run a government. And then they also did a deal that in for the moment, Netanyahu will be prime minister last year, last April. But by November next year, that is November of 2021, Benny Gantz will become prime minister. For now, Benny Gantz was made Speaker of the House. He was also made defense minister. So he had strong positions. So two adversaries came together to form this government. By November, December of last year, it was clear that Netanyahu had no intention of keeping that deal because Netanyahu has a problem. The problem he has is the moment he ceases to be prime minister, then he loses his immunity from corruption prosecutions that are going on. As long as he's prime minister, he has that immunity. And if he continues prime minister for long enough, maybe he can immunize himself in the long run or grant himself pardon, immunity, whatever. I don't exactly know how that works. So he is paranoid about giving up power. So by November, December of last year, 2020, it became evident to Benny Gantz that Netanyahu was not giving up power and was not going to give over power to him next year. But remember, that game is not over yet. Israeli politics is more fun than a T20 game, except a T20 game gets decided at the end of the day, if nothing else, and through a super over. In this case, there is no guarantee of a decision, so you might have to have another match. So Benny Gantz and Netanyahu fought over many appointments, particularly appointments to judicial departments, to legal departments, justice departments. You know the implications of that because Netanyahu himself is facing these prosecutions. They also fought over a budget. Should it be a one-year budget or a two-year budget? If it's a two-year budget, then what will Benny Gantz do when he comes to power? So in the COVID year, Israel has actually gone on without a budget. So that is the strange kind of country Israel is. At the same time, again, what an amazing country it is. They have carried out the most successful COVID vaccination campaign in the world. In fact, if you look at data on all global websites, acknowledged data, Israel's vaccination is now has already crossed 120% of its population. What that means is that every citizen is vaccinated and some have got their second dose as well, their second shot as well. So this is a country which has now crushed COVID. And in fact, Netanyahu was hoping that that will help him break the deadlock this time and win this election. But from everything that's coming out, it doesn't look like he's winning this election. Looks like he will end up, two of the three TV channels who do exit surveys, and these are quite reliable, tell us that he will be one shot. So he will get about 59 or 60. So one or two shot. That also when one opposition leader, that is Naftali Bennett, who's also right winger, who is a former soldier and commando, and who is a former chief of staff of Netanyahu. He's also right wing. So if he transfers his seats to Netanyahu's coalition, Netanyahu may get close to 60, but he will not get 61. So deadlock is back again. The third poll, the third TV station, actually says that anti-Netanyahu group will get 61 seats, but once again, there is no guarantee those 61 will agree on forming a government together. So Netanyahu may again be blessed with one more deadlock, which he can carry on. So how does it work in Israel? The system is very different from our system. And if you want to hear more about this, please check out the earlier episodes that we have done on Israeli politics, particularly 189, Cut the Clutter 189 and 280. There was also 139, but that was more about India-Israel relations. All these episodes, I will share the links with you in the description today. So this is a proportionate representation system. So each party gets votes, then every party gets seats allocated to it in the 120-member Knesset, depending on the percentage of votes it has got. So any party, further, you might say somebody gets 10 votes, 20 votes, how do you deal with them? So any party that the minimum is that you must get 3.5% of the national vote. If you get 3.5% of the national vote, you get entitlement to some seats in national parliament, maybe one seat or whatever. So what this does is, this makes it almost impossible for one political party to win a majority in Israel, because lots of parties contest, a lot of parties get more than 3.5% of this. Very important feature or factor also is that 20% of Israel's own population is Arab. 20% of Israeli citizens are Arabs, and they vote and they have parties of their own. So they also have seats allocated to them. So think about this mess where various right-wing parties are competing with each other, basically on the argument of who's more right-wing and nationalist than the other. But ultimately, if this deadlock has to be broken, this deadlock will be broken by parties that lead the Arab vote and that get the Arab vote. That is why you come into this contradiction that people opposed to Netanyahu may get 61 seats, but they may still not be able to form a government because they will not agree on broader national policies. So that is where we are stuck right now. Now, Benny Gantz, who's a former general, he did very well in the last election. This time he's doing very badly. In fact, chances are he may not get any seats at all. That's a possibility. Again, such things can only happen in Israel. And what is the reason he's now facing such a pushback from his own voters? Because last time he conducted his campaign against Netanyahu and yet chose to join Netanyahu in this coalition. So he's being punished for it. Other people who are in the running, there is Naftali Bennett, who I mentioned to you, is a former commando from Israeli Special Forces. He's also controversial. He's controversial because he was a commando in Israeli special units called Sayaret, Matkal and Maglan. Now he served there 1990 to 96, but continued to be a reservist as a major. And he went back to fight the Hezbollah behind Hezbollah's lines deep inside Lebanon and had got caught into several controversial situations, most of all something called the Qana massacre. That's when his unit of 67 commandos was trapped inside in an ambush, and he asked for an artillery fire very close to where he was trapped and his unit was trapped. That was very close to a United Nations compound. That compound got hit by artillery and a lot of civilians who were taking refuge in that compound were killed. So 102 civilians were killed, including 4 United Nations peacekeepers. That led to demands for an inquiry and a lot of noise. And you know what Naftali Bennett said? He said heroes will not be investigated. And his unit actually wrote back supporting him. So he has that controversial past, was chief of staff to Netanyahu. He is now a challenger. He has a party of his own, which may have enough votes right now to get about 6 to 7 seats. That's how Netanyahu gets to even 60. So he now can demand that, because without me you can't manage, make me prime minister instead. So all bets are off. Anything is possible. Similarly, there is a leader called Yair Lapid. Yair Lapid is a former TV broadcaster, a former anchor, star anchor, who set up his own party. So this is a funny situation where Netanyahu, who leads Likud, a party of the right, is essentially challenged by 3 other leaders of the right. It's a bit like, I'm oversimplifying it, and it doesn't apply exactly like this, but just for understanding it, it's like Narendra Modi leads an election which results in some kind of a deadlock, and then he is challenged by Bajrang Dal, Vishwa Hindu Parishad and Arnab Goswami all at the same time. Once again, it's a simplistic comparison, but that's the kind of situation that you see in Israel right now. Now, what happens in Israel in this peculiar country and system? Now, in any deadlock, it is the president, who is Reuven Rivkin, who then calls usually the leader of the largest party and gives him 4 weeks, him or her 4 weeks, to try and form a government. then this round of give and take, etc., etc., starts. Defection is not needed because parties decide where I will give my seats. So then this bargaining starts, and it's been there forever. Israel has the PhD in the world on coalition formation and on running governments through coalitions. Now, if that leader fails in 4 weeks, then the president can give someone else that opportunity. So if Netanyahu fails in 4 weeks, the president can ask maybe Naftali Bennett to come and try his luck, or somebody else, Yair Lapid, to come and try his luck. If that also doesn't work, then this devolves on parliament, on the Knesset. Then Knesset can appoint anybody and say, look, you are the leader, we give you 4 weeks, find yourself a majority. If that leader again cannot get a majority, then the Knesset dissolves itself and a fresh election takes place. Now, if you think this is not complicated enough, I will tell you what can happen theoretically. What can happen theoretically is this, that the stalemate continues, a new election is not held, and Netanyahu drags on, which he'd like to. And come November, and Benny Gantz, who today may not have any seats, he will then become prime minister, because when he and Netanyahu had their power sharing deal last year, that deal was drafted into an Israeli law, and that is a sitting law. So once again following that law, which means everything will be restored retrospectively. At least that is the understanding I get from reading the experts and international media, particularly the New York Times, which covers Israel very, very closely always. So we move to Bihar, but before that, if you want to read about the history of Naftali Bennett and this controversial operation, then you have to Google something called Operation Grapes of Wrath, and you will find more about it. In fact, Israel's political history is filled with characters like this, because a large number of them have come from armed forces background. You remember that in Israel, military service is compulsory. Now, Israelis have a stalemate, but fortunately, they haven't learned from Bihar or Bihar politicians how to break a stalemate or how to break a protest, at least by their own citizens. I think they are pretty nasty when it comes to dealing with protests by Palestinians, but not their own citizens or their own elected lawmakers. What happened in Bihar assembly yesterday was a national shame, because opposition was protesting against Nitish Kumar's new law. The protest led to fisticuffs between opposition benches or opposition wrestlers and kabaddi players and the ruling party kabaddi players. There was maramari, and then the police joined in the melee, and lots of other people joined in who looked like outsiders because they were not in uniform, but they could be police officers or policemen in mufti. Because I will tell you something from my early experience in Haryana assembly, when it used to be a lot more fun than it is then, even it is now. Even now it's fun, but then it was a lot more fun because Ayaram Gayaram was on in the 70s and anti-defection law had not come in. And I do remember in one of these melees when shoes were flying and people were getting beaten up and furniture was being torn and microphones were being yanked out, I ran into somebody who said to me, don't worry. I got a bit worried because it was a mess, and I thought he'll beat me up, because I was just then quite a green or wet behind the ears reporter in such a hostile environment. And this fellow lifted his shirt to show me his belt, saying, don't worry, I am from the police, my CID count. So maybe some of that happened in Bihar as well. But what happened was very bad. If woman MLA was being dragged out, her sari was being pulled out as she was being dragged out. Many others were beaten up. It is one of the worst things to happen, and most shocking that this happened under Nitish Kumar, who generally over the years, over the decades, we have known to be a decent politician. Now, what is this about? We are not writing an editorial in Kartak Letter. We usually don't do. But what is this about? This is about a new law that Bihar Assembly passed yesterday called Bihar Special Armed Police Bill 2021. Now, what is this Special Armed Police Bill? Every state has an armed police force. In Delhi, it's Delhi Armed Police, Haryana Armed Police. In some states, it's called Armed Constabulary. In some, it's called Military Police. In Bihar, it's called Military Police. In Manipur, it's called Manipur Rifles. So very often when Manipur Rifles units are involved in human rights violations and things, people think it's the army that has done it, because Manipur Rifles sounds like the army. They also wear olive greens. So every state in India has its armed police, but they don't have any powers that are beyond the normal laws of policing. So the normal laws of policing still apply through CRPC, police stations, where the police commissioner is, the commissioner has some powers, or the magistrate has powers, searches, warrants, arrests, etc. This law, under this law, Bihar Military Police, as it is called now, will now be called Bihar Special Armed Police, and the new law will give them sweeping powers of arrest, seizure, and search without needing any warrants and without needing clearance from any magistrates. So basically, this will become a na appeal, na vakil, na dalil, until they catch somebody and take that person to the court. So this becomes a very special kind of police force. It's a very bad idea, because once again, we keep saying again and again, sorry Victor Hugo, nobody can stop a bad idea whose time has come. If Bihar gets away with it, other states will do it, because Bihar's excuse for doing it is that we have to protect our installations, airports, metro rails. There's no metro rail in Bihar, not yet. I wish they'd first build some airports, some more airports. Look at Patna Airport, among the most dangerous in the world. In fact, many pilots rate it as the most dangerous in the world, and it has had accidents. It has no metro, it has very little industry. So what installations is Bihar trying to protect? And then the excuse is that we have Nepal all along our border, and but you know, government of India protects your borders. So we have unstable states or Naxal hit states, for example, Jharkhand, Uttar Pradesh, West Bengal. I don't know how flattered those states are looking at this, but frankly, all those states are getting ideas that they could also create private armies of this kind with power to arrest, raid, seizure, anything. You've not seen something like this before. Now, this law will now replace what was earlier. Bihar Police was earlier run under the old Police Act of 1861. Then Bihar Military Police was being run under an act of 1892 that was called the Bihar Military Police Act. This law will replace that. When this law replaced that, then as I told you, people in this special force, Bihar Military Police, which is today about 19 battalions, and it'll have its own IGs, its own DIGs, the full tamjham and the full hierarchy, they will have powers in some ways. They will not have the power to shoot anybody at will, but besides shooting and killing people, they will have a lot of powers that will remind you or that hark back to AFSPA, Armed Forces Special Powers Act. Now, which state, if a state thinks it has the power to bring in, to give such powers to its police, then it is one more step towards the balkanization of India. It's a bit like when states start reserving jobs, 75% jobs for their own residents. That leads to balkanization of India. This will be one more step, because what is now to stop every state from doing it? And what is now then to get states to start using their armed police forces to defend their states' borders and interests? And I'm not talking of something that we haven't seen. It's been going on between Nagaland and Assam for a long time. In fact, so nasty has that Nagaland Assam border situation has been, and there have been so many incidents of firing and violence and combat between the Assam Armed Police and Nagaland Armed Police, that it is one of the great tragedies and ironies of India that you have the BSF, Border Security Force, guarding the border between two states of India. So if this goes on, you could head in that direction. Now look at the kind of powers this special police has got under this law. It says if the police makes a presumption that somebody is trying to conceal his identity with the intention of carrying out a crime or damage to any important installation or property, they can go and arrest the guy. Now, how do I figure out somebody's intention? So what will I say? Chup chup khade ho, zarur koi baat hai, mere saath jail mein aa jao. I can't arrest people on suspicion and making presumption that they are trying to hide. Somebody grows a beard, you are trying to hide. Somebody shaves off a beard, you are trying to hide. This doesn't work like that. But this police force under this law gets powers like that. After that, a court cannot take cognizance of any complaints of high-handedness against this force without written consent of the government. This is Armed Forces Special Powers Act, twice over without even a central control. Then accountability. If there is an allegation that somebody from this police has done something wrong, once again, no court can seek accountability unless there is clearance from the government. It's a complete negation of constitutional democratic rule. Now, it is not going to work. The state government claims that this is patterned on the CISF, Central Industrial Security Force, which we see on our airports, etc., and which is a very good force, but it does no such things. It can't arrest, it can't raid, it can't be unaccountable. All those things don't happen. So let me just say this in great humility in conclusion, that Nitish Kumar ji, whatever you do, you can set up your CISF, your own CISF, Bihar CISF, you can set up your Bihar CISF squared, cubed, whatever, anything. But before that, please create some industry first to protect. Your state has no industry. It generates too little employment. That's why it is a labor exporter of cheap labor to the rest of the country. You have nothing to protect by way of industrial establishments. Why do you need a private army unless it is to fix your opposition, the people you don't like?